Welcome to the Hoops and Huddle podcast. I am Malika Walker, and today I am joined by one of my favorite scribes in the W, Edwin Garcia. You know, introduce yourself. He writes for the Lakers, for the Sparks, and he just love it. Love him. Go ahead.
Thanks, Malika. No, yeah, and name's Edwin Garcia. Work for Silver Screen and Roll, covering the Lakers, as you mentioned, and Sparks, and for Swish Appeal, covering the WNBA at large, but a lot of Sparks coverage. And then as we enter the fall, be focusing on women's basketball and the college scene as well. So that's pretty much the gist of the things that I do and the areas that I work on.
So very busy. Edwin is extremely busy.
Exactly.
So I figured today that we could do it like a little dump on the WNBA, because I feel like, you know, like I haven't posted really anything much, you know, regarding the playoffs, and there's been some things happening. So I figured we could start off I jumped on another pod last week talking about the playoffs, and I was like, you know what, I need to do this on my own pod. So WNBA playoffs, we're now in the semis. We just had the Liberty versus the Aces, and the Liberty were able to close out that series in four games. When you look at that series, what are some keys for you of the Liberty winning that series, and what did the Aces need? And then we can go over what the Aces need to, what they needed to win that series.
I think it's just a matter of, a lot of things. I think Leona Fibich was huge, you know, the defensive versatility she had. Yes. That was a big deal and a big difference between this year and last year. Mm-hmm. And I think just a matter of having them kind of together for another year, of the big three, of mm-hmm. Stewie and Sabrina and JJ, just having them be together for another season and kind of lock in even more. I think just having that experience and that chemistry was huge here. You didn't see the same faults that you saw last year. And Sabrina Nescu was huge, right? Like, she was just hitting big shot after big shot.
She definitely worked on her game in the offseason. She came back. Yeah. She had a healthy offseason, her first one, she said, and working with Steph's team, Steph's people, his trainers. And she came back, boy, like really, really, really helpful. Really amazing. Yeah, so
I think she was huge. And Stewie, I mean, Sabrina gets a lot of the attention, and it's because I think she just kind of galvanizes the team and electrifies them. But Stewie was just on both ends of the floor, was definitely, I think, the best player night in and night out. And Jonquil Jones, you know, she has her moments, but overall, you got more good JJ than bad.
You got more good JJ. What it frustrates me sometimes as a Liberty fan, I'm a Liberty fan, what sometimes confuses me about Judge, when she gets in her moods a little bit, when she gets frustrated and she starts pouting, sometimes that can take over. So, but, you know, I'm so glad we got out of this series. I think that we're on a mission to really lock in and win this year. I think it's going to be tough, you know, no matter who we face, because Connecticut's son just look like they look possessed. and then the Lynx, you know, at times they look like a four-headed monster, right? So, I'm so excited and nervous for the finals, but I'm happy my Liberty made it. I'm really excited about, like, as I said, what Sabrina's added to her game, a floater. She's definitely improved on the defensive end. She's not Jackie Young or Johnny Carrington yet, but she has improved on a defensive end. And it's funny because this season her three wasn't consistent. Like, but her other factors of her game helped us, you know, like maintain and capturing, maintain a number one seed. So she's been so key for us. But Leona Fibich, I remember when when they were announcing the rosters, and when Jalen Sherrod wasn't on the roster at first when we opened training camp. And I was like, after training camp was over and she was cut, I was devastated. And I wasn't really aware of the international players, and I don't keep track of that as much as I should. Yeah. But once we saw Leona Fibich play, I was like, oh. Okay. And she's not a rookie, you know, not to me. I know she's a rookie in the W, but she's won two MVP awards over in Spain. Like, that's insane. So, glad she's on our team. I feel like Chicago gave us a massive gift. So thank you to James Wade for that trade. But yeah, yay Liberty. I think we have a much better bench than we did last year. We're playing better. So we'll see what happens. With the Aces, what do you think? Like Asia is Asia. But what do you think the Aces needed to do to win that series? What could they have done?
It's tough. I mean, they were close in a couple games, of course,
Yep,
especially
they were.
they won
Game
game three, obviously, and game two
two.
was neck and neck. I think it was more of a matter of, I mean, just a combination of things. I don't think the defense was as tight. I don't think that was as sharp as it needed to be. I think that obviously Gray, she had some really great moments, but she had some rough ones as
She had an
well.
injury, so she was having trouble like getting, coming
Yeah,
back
and
from
she
it.
still had some incredible passes and some dimes that made you say like, whoa, but then it kind of like a car that like some days it works well and some days it doesn't. That's just kind of been her season. I'm not sure, what the future holds for her, but obviously she's brilliant, but there's just at this level,
Yeah,
title
point guard.
contention, it has to be. I mean, Vandersloot lost her starting spot, right? Because of those reasons, you need the absolute best options. So I think that was an issue. I actually liked most of Plum's minutes. I know sometimes she can get kind of shot happy and kind of kill the momentum, but overall, I think she was
Somebody
pretty
yesterday
good.
compared her to Arike, and I love Arike. I'm an Arike fan, but somebody was like, Plum could get into her Arike bag sometimes, but.
Yeah, I can see that, but overall, yeah, I think just they didn't have enough this year. I think it just the mental exhaustion of having to get up to that level 3 years in a row. I think it caught up with them. The Liberty obviously are very
Three beats are
hungry. They
hard.
lost it last year. Yeah, three peats are really hard. We haven't seen one. Last one in basketball is the Lakers, right? Like even the super team Warriors, injuries got them, right? It wasn't the skill, but at the end of the day, that's part of it. Injuries are part of the sport as well. So to have your best players available and dominant 3 years in a row, no one can beat them. There's a reason it hasn't been done. And even now with the Aces, they weren't able to get it done. So I think they'll definitely have to, not they have to rebuild, but they'll have to retool and figure out exactly the players that need to go and the players that need to stay.
So
I don't think
curious.
it's just the two. A lot of people technically talking about, oh, was Asia and that's it. Well, yes, sure. But if you want to win a title, you really need to have like 8 to 9 incredible pieces together. So, yeah, I'm definitely curious to see how the Aces kind of reshape their roster and who what players stay, what players go this offseason.
I'm so curious of what a few of these rosters are going to look like next year. We have the expansion draft coming in, and we'll get to that later. Now let's get to the next series, the Sun versus the Lynx. When that series started, they split. Like the Sun won the first game, and then the Lynx won the second game. The FISA, like previous series was going nuts. You know what I mean? Like we're scoring, but we know the Connecticut Sun defensively. It's just a defensive monster. Like the number one defensive team in the league, I believe. So, when they get to Connecticut, again they split. There's like no home. There's no home court advantage in this series. So I just think in game four, when they were down, you saw that it's just like this massive hunger and fight from the Connecticut Sun. They were not going down. Fought back and took that game. What are your keys for Connecticut Sun versus the Minnesota Lynx? What are your thoughts?
I think it comes down to can the Sun guards give you enough offensively to win? They've shown the games they have, they've shown the games they haven't. So I think Mabry's obviously going to be really big. Same with Carrington. I'm leaning more towards the Lynx. They're at home. I think they've shown the perseverance. I think they see an opportunity here. I think Fee's still the best player on the court, and she was even in the lost game four. But I think now that we're even, it's definitely going to be a knock 'em out, drag 'em out game. But I have the Lynx getting the edge, and if the Sun pull off the upset, I think it'll be because their guards just gave you enough offense to outscore, outpace the Lynx and get the win. But for me, I'm gonna go with the Lynx on that one. I think they're gonna be the ones that come out of the other side. But I'm definitely it's gonna be must see TV tomorrow watching that game five.
Yeah, I can't wait to check that out and to see the battle, basically. I can't wait to see it with, and I mean, that's West CTV as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So can't wait to see it. And when we look at, let's move to awards. Because once we, once Liberty finds out who their competitor is, the Nets series starts on Thursday. So whoever wins this game has, basically 2 days to get ready for the finals. But hey, that's what, when you have a game five, that's equivalent to in a men's game, a game seven. So when you have a game five, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, so my thing is we've been off. You know what I mean? Like, we had some rest, but sometimes rest isn't exactly your friend. So we'll see what happens when we get back. I'm pulling up your awards with Swish Appeal just to make sure I have them. Is this yours?
It should. If you're on Twitter, it's my pinned tweet, so you can just click on it from there.
Oh, I can just go to your pinned tweet. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. It's in my pinned tweet, so you can just.
Because I saved it in my bookmarks, but Jesus.
Yeah, I got a lot of bookmarks.
There it is. Okay, let's. We already know who the MVP is. MV3, unanimous MVP. Asia, love Asia. To me. And to most people, the best player in the game on both ends. She's just, and I know Fee won Defensive Player of the Year, but we know we disagree on the Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
So you have to vote. And I respect Fee. I respect Fee. But Asia, just, from you as a voter, since you were the official vote, this was, probably clear cut for you. But talk about why you voted for Asia for MVP.
Yeah, I just think she was the most dominant. So she kind of cleared all kind of standards you have. Like, mm-hmm. you can just look at the best player, and I think she's clearly the best player. And then when you look at how valuable they are to the team, she carried this team to the four seed. And,
to the four seed. It was without her. I don't know what they would be, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. She was dominant scoring, dominant rebounding. All her numbers were up despite the fact that she's already been All-Star, Hall of Fame, Olympian, MVP even, and she was still outscoring everything she's ever done. First woman to have 1,000 points in the WNBA in one season. Less turnovers somehow, despite her usage going up and everything. It was just, she raised the bar in ways that just are unfathomable. And, it didn't lead to a title, of course, but they might have very well lost to the champs. So, we'll see how that plays out and how that looks. But for those reasons, I just think that she kind of cleared. I don't think it was close between her and two. And I think that's why literally no one else voted for anyone else. It was that she dominant. That there was, not one person could talk themselves into anybody else.
So thank you to the voter that voted her fourth last year, who had her fourth in the MVP. But, congrats to Asia. She just was amazing on every level this year. And congrats to her for Defensive Player of the Year. You voted for the player that won, Nafisa Collier, Defensive Player of the Year. What stood out for you as Defensive Player of the Year for Nafisa versus Asia?
Ooh, they were neck and neck. I just feel like the responsibility, they're just about even when it comes to defensive responsibility on each team, but I just feel like Fee was just a little bit more of an executor and helped raise her team's defense. That's one thing people talk about. Oh, you shouldn't compare team defense. And that's true to a degree, but I think that she was a big reason that team defense was so elite. So that's one of the reasons why I went there, because the numbers are pretty close. And I think both of them, it was really, to me, it's more of a 50-50 between the two of them. But I gave Collier the slight edge. Because I think she kind of raised her team's defensive height a little bit and was able to do it, was the best defender on one of the best defensive teams in the league. And she's the reason why when she comes off, it just drops considerably. So, and again, she does the same things that that Asia does protecting the rim, able to go out there and defend on the perimeter as well. So they're both very, very close. And that's why this one, wasn't unanimous, because I think there's definitely an argument for Asia as the best defender. But it was a close one. It was a close one.
Asia, number one in blocks, number one in total rebounds, top, top five in
Steals, yeah.
steals. I just think she's, I don't get a vote, obviously. But to me, Asia was, she was a DFP, but I get it. She was a defensive player, but I get the argument for Nafisa as well. But to me, and I watched the games. To me, it's just clear. Like, Asia was a block party. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And with, I mean, her and Angel Reese went neck and neck with, really, they were, Angel Reese, when it came to rebounding, man, she was ferocious at it. And I think she, concentrated so much on that. You know what I mean? Because that was the one thing coming into the league. She even talked about it. She knew that she can come into the league and make an impact with rebounding. But Asia, like she was, I think, I just also think with Asia, she was more efficient at the rim. So she didn't have as many, in respect to Angel with her, grabbing her misses. But like she said, box her out if you got a problem. Like box her out if you don't want her getting her own rebounds. Like, they ain't on her. You know what I mean? But I get it. Nafisa was the top defensive player on her team, and helped bring them and get them to the number two seed. So, yeah, she won defensive player of the year. So obviously, you weren't alone in that assessment. So,
Yes.
coach of the year was Cheryl Reeve. I do get this one. I'm looking at your notes. You said, I considered Sandy Brondello for the award as well, given that she replicated another historic season for the Liberty. But what Reeve has done with the Lynx was so impressive that I had to go with her as a coach of the year. Sandy Brondello's team was number one.
Yeah.
So what we saying? Can you just explain this?
Yeah, well, I think that kind of like if you look at the ACES theory of like how hard it is to repeat, and how hard it is to keep that level, I think there's something to be said about the fact that, yes, of course, the Liberty are still hungry because they don't have that title, but to replicate the record that they did again, I think that was tough. She did. I think she navigated just about perfectly the decisions she made in her rotations, bringing Fibic in, forcing at the end of the season, switching Vandersloot more to the bench, changing those roles, and kind of tweaking things. She was able to do that and keep the team at the top of the. They were the top team in the league the entire time. It was never a question. They've been the top team this entire season. So, although normally this award, and that's still why I gave it to the Lynx, because our assessment of them was very low and they came out very high. So that's usually how Coach of the Year goes to. It's basically, it's almost like if we rank them too low, you get the award, which is kind of weird. But it's like, hey, that's the team, right? But that's why Brundello, I almost went that way just because I'm like, you know what? To only lose the less than double digit games again and do it again and then slightly change things here, there's something to be said about that. But in the end, that's why I went with Reeve, just because no one really expected them to be that good. And, only three teams left right now, and her team's still one of them. So that's why I gave it to her. But I did consider Brundello because they're not overachieving, but to match that level back to back seasons, I think is impressive.
And I will say with Brundello, she does have Stewie. She does have Jonquel. They're both MVPs. She has a number one pick in Sabrina. She has some good. She has some. You've got Courtney Vandersloot. She has some great players on the team, and it could be people thinking, well, look at what she has to work with. You know what I mean? Like, look at the players
Right.
that she does have, and I do get that. Now let's get to Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year was Caitlin Clark for the WNBA, and it was also your vote. You voted for her as the MVP, and I think it was deserving. I think Caitlin Clark, especially after the Olympic break, she just needed some rest. Like, people don't take into account, she went, like, she went to the finals. And then very shortly after, she was drafted. Like, I think maybe she had a week or two, if that, and she was in training camp. And then the season started. Like, she really didn't get. In the previous year, they made it to close to the final. Did they make it to the finals the following the year before?
Yeah, the year before that, yeah.
So yeah, she's been playing a lot of basketball. So for her to get a few weeks rest must have been like, my goodness. So when she came back, oh man, she was on a tear. Like, it was clear that, with her, I actually enjoy watching Caitlin. I think the fan thing, the fan engagement and all that is a separate thing. I enjoy watching her play, her, like, I like watching her and Kelsey play, Kelsey Mitchell. I think they are fabulous together. And then seeing Aaliyah with them, I think that their big three coming together really well. Hoping she, I'm curious to see where she, if she stays with the Indiana Fever, or if she could be core, then maybe they'll just core. I'm not sure what her contract status is, but yeah, I love what she did, what Caitlin was able to do coming out of the break. I think before the break, yes, she was good, but I mean, you could, to me, you had Angel Reese who was breaking all these rebounding records, but Caitlin was good at scoring and at assisting, like, and really helping her team on a different level. I still think Caitlin was leader, but Angel, I could, at that point, you could see Angel getting votes. But then after we came back from the Olympic break, it was clear. So, what are your thoughts?
No, pretty much the same. I mean, it was always her like, award to lose in that sense, top pick, all the hype. And then, she started, like you said, the beginning was a little rough just because
Yeah,
it
it
was a lot
was.
of the schedule was kind of rough too. They had a lot of like stacked
And
games
she had
going
to
back to
adjust,
back.
quite frankly. Yeah, that the schedule was crazy. The Indiana Fever schedule was nuts at the start of the season. But yeah, that is true. That schedule was packed, and she had to adjust to the league also. She even talked about the physicality. She had to get used to it. Sorry, I keep cutting you.
No, you're good. So for those reasons, yeah, it was Clark. And like you said, she really separated herself once the post Olympic break went on a tear, and it was no question, which is why, almost unanimous, but one person did go for Reese, but just about unanimous there. And that was an easy decision to make for sure.
For sure. The whole fan engagement thing with Caitlin is a separate, because I enjoy watching her play, but there's a segment of her fan base that is that, that's one thing, but the W expanding. It's a beautiful thing that the W is expanding. The W has more viewers than they've ever had. Like, Caitlin like, yes, this rookie class is amazing. They brought fans, but Caitlin has brought an avalanche of fans. And there's a segment of her base that is just, that is comes across as racist, sending racist language or prejudice, or just at the basic level, some of them are just not informed about the game itself, and they make statements like she's obviously the MVP. And but when you grow, you have casual fans, that come in. That's part of it, right? I was just curious your quick thoughts on, I didn't have this on the rundown, but I feel like we need to mention it. Caitlin, but her fan base, some of the fan base that came in.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's there's the good and bad of it, and yeah, it's so multi-layered with like the toxicity at that point, and like how out of hand it's gotten and has gotten, and is also going to continue being like, right? Like,
Yeah, it's not I think this is a
it's not going
W
away.
and it's growing, and with growth we have some pain here. Like, some people not pain like, oh my God, people are stressed out, but I think with growth you're going, it's something that the W is going, like with the NBA, There's, you have many more teams. You have worldwide. They're worldwide. The fandom is huge. So with the W, it's growing, and with growing, they're growing pains. I feel like this is a growing pains phase. Next year we have Paige coming in and some of the other rookies. Eventually, Azzie Fudd and some of the others. We'll eventually have Juju coming in, and Lee Chavez. Like there's players coming. It's only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Flauje. So I'm excited about the future of the W. We got new teams coming. We got, all kinds of things coming. But with that, you know what I mean? Like I did, watching how the W fandom and how the community and how the league handles it. I think that how the league handles it is going to be telling because I was disappointed with the league's response at the end of the season. Like when you have the Indiana Fever going through X interviews, all of a sudden here you go with a statement. I thought that that said a lot about how the league felt. I felt like that was very sternish of Kathy Engelbert. And yeah, that's a whole nother issue. Kathy Engelbert, the interview, how she responded, how she dealt with it online. Man, this was a fun season, that one, wasn't it?
Yeah,
So
it was.
it was interesting this season. But all rookie team. I actually liked your all rookie team. Camila, Caitlin, Aaliyah, Rakia, Angel Reese. I liked your rookie team a lot because I felt like Aaliyah, even though Washington Mystics didn't have the greatest record, I want you to talk about your rookie team. I think I'm talking too much. Go ahead.
No, you're good. So yeah, well, obviously Clark was in there. I mean, she can't be rookie of the year and not be in the all-rookie team. So she made it there clear. And yeah, I think again, Cardoso and Reese were just two players that were so important to the Sky season. And of course, they fell short. But as we know, Reese got injured. They maybe probably would have made the playoffs had it not been for that. So they were kind of where they needed to be. And then yeah, I think Edwards, like you said, performed well in a team that's was just not good at all, and Rakia Jackson really picked it up somewhere
Yeah,
around the midway
she
point.
did.
A combination of picking it up and also getting that opportunity, because at first she was on the bench like the first 6 to 10 games, then she started, and then she still wasn't really getting her number called, and then finally they kind of let her loose and she really got going. So yeah, I felt like yeah, Phoebich was another person to think about, but again, she's not necessarily a rookie, but still technically one.
I'm basically on the same page with Leonie Fibich. I love Leonie Fibich. Like in terms of for my team, who's made the greatest impact? Yeah, Sabrina getting better was a big impact, but that's expected considering where she was drafted and the potential of Sabrina. Like one of my issues with Sabrina previous seasons was that she was getting these accolades, and I felt like in some ways she wasn't there yet. This year, she's there. Like she definitely is a much. I get it this season. This season was like, okay, Sabrina, I see it. You know what I mean? I see it. You shut me up. I'm there. I'm true. You know what I mean? I'm still happy as hell you're on my team. And wow, like it's almost like she's a diff completely different player. But I get it. But with Leonie, outside of that, having a 6'4" guard. That's won two MVPs in Spain on your team. She made the all rookie team for the NBA. Aaliyah Edwards did not make the all rookie team for the NBA. I mean, WNBA. It was Leonie Fibich that was on the all rookie team for the WNBA. And it's funny that Miles, who writes for the Liberty, Miles Elrich, he had a piece where Leonie made a comment that she didn't like awards. Her thing is like individual achievements. She's about the team achievement and the team goal. And, love her. But, I get it. But I loved your all rookie team because these are really rookies. And while I love Leonie Fibich, to me, she's a vet. And even though she's technically a rookie for the W, with her having two MVPs already, it just seems kind of weird putting her in the world. Even though it was in another league, seems weird to have her. So I love that you had her as a sixth player of the year. I figured with her and Tip Hayes, it was going to be, that was going to be a tight race. And Tip Hayes ended up winning the official WNBA sixth player of the year. But I love that you voted for Leonie Feebit. So I wanted you to share your thoughts as, a Sparks writer and media member on Leonie Feebit.
Yeah, I think that her defensive versatility is huge. Size is really good, and yeah, she's an older rookie, not really a rookie, but still technically a rookie because she's in the WNBA for the first time, playing through the season. I thought she, I think she's one of the biggest X factors for the team, and that's why I put her there. Now, technically, at this point, now she's a starter, but she was a bench player the majority of the season, and that's only
Yeah.
kind of been something the final half dozen games where they really kind of stuck with it, and the playoffs they've stuck with it, of course. But most of her rookie season was coming off the bench compared to the other players, the rest of the all rookie players that I selected. They're all starters, play a bunch of minutes,
Yeah.
and it,
Yeah.
they're huge. Leonie's has had more of that role before, where she's coming off the bench, giving you that defensive consistency and kind of being that spark plug for the Liberty. And obviously that's now switched now that we're in the postseason. She's starting and kind of splitting that role with Vanderslew. But yeah, that's why I picked her as sixth player. Hayes was also great. But yeah,
She
that's why I went
was.
with
She
that's why I went with
was.
Fibich.
And thanks for voting for Phoebich. But yeah, Hayes, I figured she, with her, with her already being really a great player, you know what I mean? And then coming in and coming off the bench and being having such a pivotal role with the Aces, I figured that award was going to be for Tip Hayes. But I love that you did vote for Leonie Phoebich and your reasons. But yeah, Tip Hayes was something else. This year for Aces, she was that dependable player when she got there that was helping Asia, along with Kelsey and Jackie Young. They definitely, I love the Aces, just not more than the Liberty. So, most improved player, De'Arica Hamby. That was your vote. And most improved player was DeJounay, right? For the
Yeah, Carrington got it.
Before I go into my why I thought Carrington was deserving, let's talk about why you voted for De'Arica.
Yeah, so I went with De'Arica because despite the fact that she's 1-6 player and she's multiple time All-Star prior to this, she really
Yeah.
took her game to another level. She played in every game, she started in every game, and all her numbers went way up. Her points went up, her rebounds went up, her minutes per game, everything just went up across the board. And the biggest thing to me about Carrington, my biggest beef is that her per 36 numbers were pretty much, actually, they took a dip. So to me, the thing is, she just got a bigger role and performed well in that role, which there is some credit to, hey, can you actually do it if I gave you more time? And the answer for her was obviously yes, but it didn't really jump that much versus Hamby. None of her previous numbers indicated she could do this. Like her per 36 were far below. She outperformed what those projections would be if she played that as many minutes as she did. So for me, that's the thing that made it most improved because you went beyond what was projected. If you just get more minutes, you're going to score more or you're going to get more rebounds or whatever. She went beyond that and improved past that. So that's why I picked her most improved. And I had, of course, Carrington was a kind of a close second. And that's why in the voting, they were also 1 and 2. They just flipped, right? Carrington won it in the official award, and Hamby wasn't too far away from taking it, but just far enough that she couldn't get it.
What you're saying makes sense. The way you broke that down, I had to John A. One of the things with De'Arica, because she's already, and you already mentioned it, she won sixth player of the year. She was an all-star. It's like, she's a good player. She's a champion. Like, what do we, like, in my head, I was like, of course, De'Arica is already a good player, 10-year vet. I felt like with DeJounay, seatbelt. I just feel like she, like this year she took leaps. She did take a leap. She improved her numbers as well. What you said per 36, I get. But when you look at Dejounte, even the eye test, you look at her versus last year, she clearly improved. And look at the Sun, like, and how they, them being the number one defensive team in the league, and she's definitely a key part of that. She did win the award, but with De'Erica, I felt like she's already good. She's already a champion. She's already won Sixth Man of the Year. She already is a multiple all-star. But I get what you're saying and why you voted for her. From that perspective, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, the way you broke it down from a stats perspective, it makes sense. But I was like, listen, for this award, like DeJounte, I couldn't see anyone getting it but her. But they didn't announce all WNBA teams yet, right? Am I missing something? Did they announce them?
No, they have not. They've announced
Okay.
everything else. They gave Hanby also a sportsman of the year, sportsperson
Oh
of the
yeah,
year.
they did. They did the Kim Perrell.
Yes.
They did.
And they did do all defensive already, but they have not done, or did they?
They
Yes, they
did
did.
all
They did all
defensive.
defense, yeah, but they have not done first team. I do not know. They just told us the windows. And obviously we're in the window that they're going to announce it. My guess is they're waiting for right before the finals to kind of one last little hype. Like, here's our
It
first team,
probably
second team.
Wednesday after the opponent is determined. So I could
Before
see
game
it
one.
Wednesday. Yeah, before game one, I could see it Wednesday. But the all defensive teams, you had DeJounte on the first team, with Stewie, Asia. Alyssa was on the second team this year. You had Nafisa. Was she? Let me. Yeah. On the second team, you had. It's interesting because in the second team, you had guards. On you had one guard in the first team and one guard in the second team. You had Natasha Cloud on the first team, but DeJounte on the second team. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about your all defensive teams and, talk about why you put. Why you had the guards that way, because they were flipped.
It wasn't that. So I just kind of. It was really, this was like the hardest part. The all defensive, all WMA was the hardest thing to do because I don't know how other people do it, but the way I did it, I basically took like the top 30 and then shrunk it until I got to 10. So the pool of 30 wasn't too bad because I just wanted to make sure that there's no way I missed anybody. So that was kind of safe. And then the top players were easy too because I already knew them, right? Like obviously Asia was going to be first team, and obviously Stewie and Fee were going to be first team because I was considering them for defensive player of the year. So those three were like the easy first team. The other seven spots were incredibly difficult because really like there's like 15 that kind of deserved it and only 10 that can get the spots. I mentioned Neko was one that I was like, oh man, I really want to put her in there, but who am I going to take out? I just didn't feel like I could. So there's a few players that definitely I think could have deserved it. I didn't think about it since it was positionless anyway. I didn't think about how many guards or how many bigs. I just thought of it as kind of best player. So for me, it was kind of just a coincidence that it ended up being that way. Since I had, like I said, Wilson, Stewie, and Collier as the top three, those were just kind of three bigger players, and I only left two more spots there. And yeah, I just think Cloud was a little bit better. I think Carrington, she has energy, and she definitely has those highlights that kind of stick out in your head. And like you said, she's got the celebration, she's getting hyped up, and that's not worth anything. That's why she's all defensive. She's definitely, in there. I just think Cloud was just a little bit better, and that it's just the really nuances that to me I liked her on-ball defense just a little bit better, and that's why I gave her the slight edge over Carrington. But they were both obviously in both teams. It just was a matter of who makes first team, who makes second. It kind of reminds me of the same thing I had with Clark and Inescu and all WNBA. They were neck and neck, and I had to pick one because I was running out of spots, and I'm like, I edged it either, but they could have easily flipped, and they did, I think, in the official one. But for me, that's kind of why I just went with Cloud. I just felt like her impact was a little bit better on the on ball than Carrington, who is really, really, really elite at it. It's just there's only five spots for first team, so you have to cut it off at some point, and she just missed the cutoff for me making that one, but she made obviously second team pretty easily.
Yeah, the official first team was Nafisa, Asia, Ezzie, DeJounte, Breonna Stewart. Your first team was Natasha Cloud, Nafisa, Breonna Stewart, Alyssa Thomas, Asia. The official second team, Alyssa, Elena Smith, NECA, Jonquil, Natasha Cloud. Your second team was DeJuana, DeJohnay, Jonquil, Ezzy, Elena Smith. So it was like, I love that NECA made the second team. But yeah, these are hard. Like, where do you put people? Like, how do you separate the first from the second team? That's a hard one. But what you did, you had the right guards on here. You know what I mean? Like,
It's pretty
so
much
it
the
didn't
same.
matter. Yeah. Yep. A lot of these guys you just had them at different places.
Exactly. Yeah, it was the same group, just like
Yep.
the minus like one player, and it was just a matter of who gets first, who gets second, and most of it was pretty close. I mean, we're all watching the same game, so would
Yep.
kind of be near each other and just a little bit off because one person values this more, one person felt like this was a little bit better. But yeah, all in all, it was a pretty similar list, of course.
And I always say, everyone has an opinion. Everyone can watch the same thing and have different opinions. And that's basically what happened. Now, the all WNBA teams were not announced yet. Your all WNBA team is first team, Nafisa, Sabrina, Breonna Stewart, Alyssa Thomas, Asia Wilson. So you have Sabrina on the first team. And then on the second team, you have Caitlin, Kalia Copper, Jonquil, Arike, NECA. So I want you to talk about, and it's probably similar to how you felt about all defensive. Like, these are the players. Where do you put them, first or second team? I wanted you to talk about your decision of who made first and second between Sabrina and Caitlin, and and some of the others that you wanted to specifically highlight.
So yeah, it was kind of the same process. I started with about 30 and shrunk it down. And I didn't think about it as in necessarily who's first or second. It's just more like you got to have the 10 in order and then kind of go from there. And when I was doing the 10 in order, the ones I knew that were definitely going to be first team was Fee, Asia, and Stewie. It's like, so I didn't have to even think about those. I'm like, well, that's three spots right there. So really what my job really was is who are the seven who are going to get the other spots and then just put them in order. And then so two things were happening. It was filling out the last couple spots there in the first team. And then for me, the struggle was more so who am I taking off? Like McBride's not going to make it now. Jewell Loyd's not going to make it now, because I just didn't have enough spots left. There's only 10. So those were more of my struggles on the first team. Like honestly, it really wasn't a struggle. I think Sabrina cleared Clark kind of easily to me. I just think that people forget the defensive side, and when we're adding both sides of the floor, I just don't think there's a contest. And I also think that again, Sabrina just is a better finisher near the rim. She's a better ball handler. I think even now, I think Clark is definitely a better passer and a better three-point shooter. But those are just two aspects of the game. And they're two important aspects, but it's not the same as scoring from all three levels. I feel like Sabrina can also take contact better. She also finishes through contact better. And she's, doing it at the highest level for the best team. It's a different role. She doesn't just have the green light. She has to try to win games while being aggressive and making those decisions. And she's able to run that part of the offense, also work off ball more. It's a lot of different responsibilities she had. And she handled them, superbly, I think. So for all those reasons, I thought, yeah, she's definitely first team. And it's no surprise that you see her. Yes, the playoffs don't count because, I mean, I couldn't have counted them. The voting was well before the playoffs even started. But I'm not surprised at all that more and more people are seeing, oh, look, the level raises and she rises too. And it's still there and still just dominating because she's that good. So that was kind of the way that kind of turned out for the first team, second team. But all in all, it was really hard to get it down to 10. I would really love a third team because that would make it pretty easy, I think. But who knows? Maybe I'd
Yeah, we
be
need a
struggling with the
third
third
team.
team.
I think that with some adding teams, maybe we'll, you know what I mean? There'll be enough teams eventually. Like Chris Hoopspaces always says he wants to make it up to 20. He thinks
Yeah, I
20
think that's
is
probably fair.
doable.
20, you'll get a 13 for
Yeah,
sure.
you'll get a
And we're
13.
adding it up soon, so we'll see when we get to 20. We'll be getting close. We'll be closer to 20 than we are to 10 in a couple years.
Now, our final topic I had is us to talk about the expansion. We have the expansion draft coming up for the Valkyries on December 6th. It looks like teams can detect six players. They have until about a week or two before the expansion draft to submit their, their rosters so they can see who's protected, who's unprotected. And it was six. So everyone was waiting for what that number was going to be. The last time we had an expansion draft was over a decade ago. What, 2008, 2007? I forgot the date.
Eight, yeah,
So
oh wait.
people were wondering whether they were going to keep similar rules. We have the cores, like those 2 core years. So, if a player like Brianna Stewart is in a situation, she has another core year. She's going to have another core year this year because I don't see Liberty just letting her out there. So she'll be cored, and so that automatically means that she can't be as part of the draft. But as you look at, are there any rules, or was there something specifically you were looking for to be announced with the expansion draft that was a little different, or was it more in line with what you're expecting for the expansion draft?
I got most of what I wanted, which was the simple stuff. What day is it? What are the
Yeah.
rules? How
Yeah.
many players are protected? So I like that we got most of that. I still, a couple things I wanted that I don't think I'm gonna get because they made it kind of clear. And one of them is the fact that we won't know what players are gonna be protected, which I find to be pretty weird, because.
Oh, they're not going to announce who the protected players are?
What one person said no. They said that they contacted the league and the league said they wouldn't announce it, which I think would be weird because if you're putting it for like
They're
TV
so
and stuff like that.
secretive. That's the part that is very, but the W, their transparency with the public is just not, when it comes to certain things like the voting. I forgot we do. I did want to mention that because I have this thing. I think votes should be public. But out with the discourse on Twitter, maybe it's just not ready because some of the things I've seen online, I was like, oh, I know what I want, but I don't know if we're ready for these 66 or however voters it is to be exposed to that extent. But yeah.
Yeah, so now maybe they change their mind. Maybe teams decide to just disclose it to the their their fans in like a PR release. So just because the W won't share that information, at least that's what we heard. They could always change their mind and kind of switch it up. But I also think it would just it's hard. From an entertainment standpoint, this is going to be aired on ESPN. How are you going to air a draft when I don't know who's available? I'll just be
Yeah.
waiting and then hear a name
I
and be
mean, that's
like,
part of
okay,
the
cool.
suspense. I think that's, also them not announcing is part of the suspense. Who are they going to take from the Liberty? Who are they going to take from, particular teams? Because I, in my head, for the Liberty to be Kayla Thornton, she's the player that, like, because I see the Liberty protecting Stewie, because she'll be cored, Sabrina, Benaja. You have Phoebich, Nayara, and I'm forgetting a player. I'm forgetting an obvious player, but there's a definite six. And I figured Kayla, even though love her off the bench, I think she's the player that will be out there for the fee, for the or Markeisha Davis or Jalen Sherrod, or so it'd be interesting to see who from each team is selected. Because I'm curious
And
from some of these teams who's going to be protected, but if they don't announce
exactly.
it, yeah.
So I hope they announce it so that way we at least know and fan base know, okay, these players are safe, these are not. So I hope something happens there. And I do like the fact that the Valkyrie can only take one player from one team. So they can't gut an entire roster. They can't just say, you know what, we're taking everything the aces have minus the six, something like that. I think that's pretty fair. Make sure it keeps it balanced. And I'm curious to see, what the strategy is going to be. We know Joe Lacob, he's very serious about winning titles. He's done it with the Warriors. He wants to come out and
That
field in a
roster is going to be
competitive team right
planned.
away.
plans.
So I wonder
And stuff.
exactly how much is the expansion part of that plan? Maybe it's not even that big of a part. Maybe they're gonna, try to gather assets or try to trade picks and swap things and go. Maybe they're gonna focus on free agency and gonna make a big splash signing a superstar or something like that. Like, I don't know which way they're gonna go. Obviously, we'll know more as once the expansion happens and hearing ownership talk. But it's gonna be exciting seeing it. So I'm glad we at least got
I'm
some information.
excited. Yeah, I'm excited about the Valkyries. And then next year, we'll have two teams coming in.
Toronto and Ken and
So,
Toronto and Portland.
Toronto and Portland. And I feel like Toronto got a little bit of a head start, at least. You know what I mean? Like, and you got Portland, but I'm like, so tomorrow's, I mean, next year's gonna be chaos. You know, you have, you know, they'll be opting out of the CBA. So, you know what I mean, you'll have that, and then you'll, you know, dealing with, you know, getting a new CBA, you'll have two teams coming into the
Will we have two
coming
expansion drafts? Are they going to happen in the same
yep
decade? It'll be like
yep
1 1 1
yep
1 1 like
like chaos. One of the things I was thinking about with the rosters, Spotrac, and although all those sites usually have who's protected, who's unprotected. So it's interesting if they're going to hold back on those sites getting those rosters. You know what I mean? Because that's what I checked to see who's protected, who's unprotected. So that's how we will be able to see it. But it'll be interesting to see if
That's
they
true.
hold those back. I already said what I wanted to say. As a voter, you shared your ballot. We'll end with this one. You did share your ballot. What are your thoughts about transparency, like the NBA, around voting, to every vote, like who everyone voted for?
Yeah, so I was gonna share it regardless. Well, one, I made sure it was okay. 'Cause I'm like, I know it's anonymous. Can I share? Then I got the rules for that stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. So I knew I was gonna share it at some point. And then it actually was my boss's idea to be like, hey, are you okay making an article? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, okay, cool. Then I made it into a
I
first article.
love that you shared your ballot and your reasons. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
At first it was just gonna be kind of just tweets. And then he's like, well, if you're okay with it, let's do an article. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then, it did pretty well. And people seem to like it. 'Cause it kind of, like you said, it gave the insights of like, okay, here's why I thought this, not just like, here's the names react to the other image you saw. So that was cool. I'm split on it. I see both sides. Obviously for transparency's sake, it's good 'cause it makes it clear who voted what. Right now we have questions. Who voted for Angel Reese? Who did it? And we don't get the answers to that.
But the Angel Reese vote this year is last year's fourth place vote. So that was so funny, like seeing the tweets online from Caitlyn's fans wanting to understand, like trying to decipher who voted for Angel Reese and thinking it was Cheryl, even though she doesn't have a vote, Cheryl Swoops. And it was just interesting. Or fans of, you know, like people who like Cheryl Swoops. No, like, I'll be curious. It'd be cool if people did like you did, wrote a piece on who their votes there and why they voted. But I thought that was funny because I said this is another year where there's a vote and it's like, what the heck? So.
So for me, I'm split on it. The main reason I think it's good is for transparency, just for everyone to know. But the other part of me is, and again, I don't know all 67 people and who they are, but like maybe because it's anonymous, you're getting a more honest vote because people know, well, no one's gonna bother me about this. And I
Very
wonder if it's public, if some writers would just get scared, and maybe the Angel Reese voter would have just said, you know what, I'm gonna go with Clark because I don't want to deal with it, like. But
true.
maybe their honest opinion is they want Reese. So I wonder how much of that, kind of factors in. But I think in general there will be the day that we do make it completely transparent. And I think for me, I think that's probably the best because to me, one of the keys, there's a lot of I have a lot of ideologies and beliefs in like journalism in general, but one of them to me is you have to be brave. You have to say what you think. I knew the minute I put Sabrina above Clark, I already knew what was going to happen. I was going to get some kind of static for that. I knew that. But again, that's my opinion, and that opinion is based on hours of watching. Again, like you said, you might still disagree. You might have watched every single play I watch and still disagree, and that's fine. But I
Everybody
have
has
my,
their own opinion.
exactly, I have my rationale, and I'm going to stick with it. And I'm not going to be someone who's going to say, oh, well, since people are going to see it, I don't really think Clark's number one, but I don't care enough. So, like, let me just flip. I'm like, no, you got to stand by what you see. So I think that if everyone does that, it shouldn't be a problem. But I think they do it anonymously, at least now, to protect the voters from having to worry about, you know, getting targeted, getting harassed, all the kind of stuff that you've seen. Instead, they're like, hey, you know what? It's anonymous, and they can just argue amongst themselves about who the ghost was that voted the way they weren't happy with. But you're right. Obviously, it's the same entity owned by the NBA, so I'm guessing eventually it's going to transition to not being anonymous, just like the NBA has transitioned to just everything's kind of out there. And hey, if you want to, you know, scroll through the bracket and see the person's name and all that, you can do it. If not, hey, it's available if you actually want to know who voted how.
Yeah, and I love that about them. You know that eventually is going to come out. But I, you know, like, I did see some tweets that led me to go, I will love transparency, but maybe, just maybe, it's not there yet. You know, like, but it's coming. I think it has to come. But this year was kind of sensitive, you know, like, and I do get it. So I kept you a long time, but I enjoyed this conversation. I loved speaking with you about the W, and we touched on a little bit of everything. And thank you for being here. I would definitely love to bring you back before the start of college season, because I am curious of your thoughts on some of the big names, and who do you think is, because I know you're going to be covering USC, right? You're covering USC?
Yeah, I'll definitely cover USC, and I'm not sure like all the teams I'll be in charge of, but yeah. I'll be watching a lot of different stuff for sure.
Okay, cool. So we'll definitely talk about that, and thank you everyone for checking this out. And you can find Edwin Garcia eCreates88 on Twitter. And thanks a lot. Have a good night, everyone.